Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930 WRVC present Tri-State Viewpoint. To join the program, call 304-399-8255 or toll free at 877-420-8255. Now, from the Kindred Capital Building in Huntington, Bobby Nelson and Gene Dean.
Hey, welcome to Tri-State Viewpoint, where the Tri-State comes to talk 5 days a week on any and all subjects. We hope to be educational, informative, and sometimes provocative. Before we get into our first very interesting guest today, I want to make sure that everyone knows that the Safe Trick or Treat Night, sponsored by our corporation, your Kindred Communications, this is the 22nd, 22 years. This started when I was mayor, believe it or not. I remember that. I was the first one to get a piece of candy. He gave me a Tootsie Roll. But anyway, it's usually on A Street between City Hall and the County Courthouse, but it's been moved because of inclement weather. And all you got to do, I'm looking outside now, it's overcast, rainy, and windy, and we've had good weather. But is that the Witch of the East or the Witch of the North that comes in like that? Do you know, Ernie? Which witch is a bad witch?
I forget, actually. The Wicked Witch of the...
West,
north?
East, North. Anyway, maybe that's who's flying around here on a broomstick. But anyway, folks, listen up, kids. It's going to be tonight at the Big Sandy Arena, Big Sandy Superstore Arena, 6 to 8 p.m. It is the largest, the best, biggest, and I will say the oldest, but there's a lot of young kids will be there. Everybody in the Tri-State is welcome. Doors open 6 o'clock, 6 to 8. Lots of fun, music, candy, the place to be on Halloween. So look for you over there. Now, let's get down to some serious business. The other day, I had a young man, Austin Sanders, on talking about the teen court in Huntington, which I found very interesting. I didn't know if many people knew about that. And we talked about it, and then I came across a story about a young lady here in Huntington. As a matter of fact, my daughter put me onto this. Her name is Jordan Shields, and I know that name probably rings bells with some of you people, particularly over around the Cabell Huntington Hospital, or maybe go back to way back several years to the television station here, Channel 13, I believe, yeah. Way back. But Jordan Shields is the daughter of Doug Shields, but that's not her only claim to fame. She has embarked on a mission, so to speak, mm-hmm. That is truly, truly, I think, not only interesting, but it takes a special person to do this, and you're trying to deal with some special people.
Absolutely.
And that's why I have Jordan Shields in here with me, right here in the studio. She's all dressed up in her Halloween colors and everything. So, Jordan, welcome to Tri-State Viewpoint, and I'll just let you begin to tell us. I'm not going to tell them the name of the organization. I'll let you go in and just tell what it is, how you happen to get involved in it, and what it does.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I'm just so excited to be able to come and sit with you and talk about what I do. As you just mentioned, this is a very new organization. We go by the name Young Lives, and we seek to... basically provide services for teenage mothers here in our area. And so that happens through a variety of ways. We provide mentoring services. That's one big component where we basically come alongside these girls, walk through life with them, talk about just a variety of issues that they face as teenagers, as kids, raising kids, essentially. And so that's a big part of our services.
Yeah, so the... these are young teenage women who, mm-hmm. for some reason or other, have become moms.
Yes.
And they probably, in many instances, are not married, or they may have some familiar support. That's family support. But in some cases, that also can be a taboo to some families who feel that, you know, something like that happening at a young teenager.
Absolutely.
And so it's quite a position for that person to feel and to... Mm-hmm. And so that's where you come in. You try to provide that support. Now, how do you make contact?
Absolutely. Like you mentioned, it is kind of a sensitive topic, mm-hmm. But we approach it with just a lot of grace, and we want to just show girls, we just want to love on them and really just help them through this. And so right now we're working to figure out the best ways to establish contact here in our area. Young Lives is a part of a bigger umbrella organization called Young Life.
Mm-hmm.
And so Young Life has been here in Huntington for about 4 years. And so it has more of a presence already established in the two high schools here in Cabell County. So we're basically kind of piggybacking off of those relationships that have already been started. And so right now we're working with administration at both schools to figure out how best to identify the girls and to begin these relationships.
Okay. To your knowledge, do we have a considerable number of teen moms?
A considerable number, a very considerable number. I can't remark specifically on the exact statistic, but I know that the need in the area for something like this is huge. It's huge.
Well, it would seem first you have the family, maybe the church and the school and the community.
Mm-hmm.
How many are you involved with some teen moms now?
We are just starting. I've just started a relationship with one mom, and our program's very different. We're not asking people to come and sign up to be a part of this. We want this to be a very organic thing, a very organic relationship, just in the way you would begin any kind of relationship that you're in life, any kind of relational circumstance. And so the girl that I've begun to know has just basically been passed to me through a teacher that knows her well. And so that's just been really great, being able to sit and connect with her. But right now, yeah, we're just starting out, so our relationships aren't large in number.
What has been, though, the initial reception to the services that you have, both at by school administrators or counselors or even other areas? Do you find an open door, or is it, well, we got a number of organizations, or they got into this trouble, let them take care, you know, fight for themselves?
Absolutely. So far, everybody's been incredibly welcoming. Most of our time spent isn't during the school time. You know, it isn't during school hours.
Right.
So we're just kind of using school as an outlet to connect with the girls.
Okay.
So for the most part, everybody's been very agreeable and has noticed the need. Mm-hmm. That we've noticed as well.
Now, you say this is really a national organization, and there's been, like a chapter or an affiliate here for a number of years, maybe 3 or 4 years, did you say?
Yes, there's been a Young Life area here for a number of years, about four. But in terms of Young Lives, we're together but separate. And so Young Lives has really only been around we've been raising support and awareness since March, so it's very new in terms of the teen mom side of things here locally.
And this is a ministry, a religious base, but it isn't the overbearing,
No.
This is using the principles of basically the commandments and all that, and all that to that. Some of the things that your organization does with the young moms, do you babysit and let them go out on their what are some of the things? I mean, I assume first there has to be some confidence built up.
Absolutely.
So that they trust you and trust them.
Yes.
But you don't you don't put them on a guilt trip. No, you accept
them.
It's just the opposite, right?
It's just the opposite. You've used a lot of the words that we use often in explaining the way this works.
Well.
Yeah, you did great.
Well.
Where's the
applause button there?
There we go.
That's enough. Hold them back there.
We like to say that we earn the right to be heard. We have to earn that place in their life to where we can speak truth to them. And so initially we meet them where they are. We come alongside them at whatever point they are in their life. We take time in that, and we let these relationships kind of naturally.
I have a few more questions I want to ask you, but I want to let our audience know that they're welcome to call in. You don't mind taking
Not
calls.
At all.
If you'd like to call Jordan and talk about the Young Lives, the organization that helps teen moms, give us a call here, 304-399-8255 or toll-free 877-420-8255. We're going to take a break now. This is Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930. Stay with us.
This is Tri-State Viewpoint on Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Hey, welcome back to Tri-State Viewpoint. I want to remind you again that the one and only Safe Trick or Treat Halloween celebration is 6 to 8 tonight at the Big Sandy Superstore Arena. You'll be in out of the weather. You won't be out in the dark going door to door. Maybe you never know what can happen. Here you're in a safe environment. A lot of free music, fun, candy. 6 to 8, so get your kids and dress up and come over to the Big Sandy Superstore Arena, where Kindred Communications is sponsoring the 22nd annual Safe Trick or Treat. Okay, my guest is Jordan Shields. Jordan is starting a new organization, starting an organization here called Young Lives, and it's part of a national organization that really provides assistance and support to teen mothers. But we were talking about some of the things that your group or you or your organization will do. Tell us a little more about that.
Sure. We have a variety of outreach events that have not yet started, but are basically on our calendar to begin in February. And they'll take place every Tuesday night. And with each of the different types of events that we provide, we always have a dinner, so a time when the girls are ensured that they can sit down and have a healthy meal.
Now, can they bring their babies with them?
Absolutely. Oh. Absolutely. We have child care that we provide with every outreach event that we do as well. And so there are, you know, typically 4 months or 4 weeks in a month. And so each week of the month, there's a different type of event that we hold.
And I guess we need to get a location and times and all that. Do you have a an address and all now?
We do.
Tell our audience.
Absolutely. We use a building that is directly behind First Presbyterian Church, or that is at least our hope, coming up in February. So right now we're essentially working on just establishing how that will work out. It will be Tuesday nights beginning February 4th. We'll begin around 6 o'clock in the evening.
Okay, now that's right behind First Presby, and First Presby is right there, at 5th Avenue?
At 5th Avenue.
And what, 11th Street or 10th Street?
I believe so, yeah.
And is it a building they own that they're making available, or is it?
Yes. It's a building that First Presbyterian Church owns, and we are working through the process of exactly what that looks like in terms of our use, but that is our plan at this point, is to be on target to use the space in February.
So starting in February, you will have a location, and you'll have something
every Tuesday night,
and it will be kind of an informal, maybe networking. It's just not an economic summit. But just nurturing friendship, and we'll let the teen moms, that there are other teen moms, and
you
have people out there. Now, Ernie mentioned it on the break about what about the other side of this? What about the male who may be responsible for the baby being born?
Absolutely. That's definitely kind of on our radar. At this point right now, the program is geared towards reaching moms on a national level. That's how that's a premise for Young Lives. But it's definitely been on my heart in a lot of different interactions that I've had already to this point. And people who have said the very same thing you have, what about the fathers? And so at this point, we don't have anything yet, but are definitely prayerful that maybe there is somebody out there with a similar heart for fathers as I have for mothers. And so maybe they'd be interested in coming alongside and starting something for the fathers.
Well, I know there are a number of organizations that reach out to young people, particularly the churches and maybe some of the organizations that have that maybe a special interest, whether it's an athletic or whatever. Mm-hmm. But this is the first I've heard where there's an organization that specifically reaches out to teenage mothers.
Absolutely.
And you say there are quite a few in this area.
There are quite a few in the area, yeah.
Are you surprised at the number?
I'm only surprised because, you know, I've been out of high school about 10 years, and so just to think about how times have changed in even the past 10 years, it's just saddens me, you know.
Yeah, and I guess the age range goes
early adolescence. Maybe
before, in some cases, before they're teenagers.
Absolutely. I mean, we've heard of cases, you know, even back in early middle school, where girls have become pregnant and mothers at that point.
And did you say that you have heard or you have known that there are teenage moms who have two children still as teenagers?
Yeah.
Is there a I know education and all the things in school and church. How do we get into these situations? Is it just what they call it, the
It's a cultural thing, I think, just in terms of things they see on television. I'm not going to blame it all on that kind of circumstance. I think that there's something that these girls, and I hate to type them and say these girls, but mm-hmm. there's something that they're searching for, maybe. And so I think teen pregnancy mm-hmm. is idolized in a lot of ways on television. There's shows called Teen Mom, you know, reality TV shows that glamorize, you know, mm-hmm. and present a false picture of what being a mother looks
yeah,
like.
Yeah, it seems to be, and I don't want to jump on TV shows mm-hmm. or celebrities,
yeah.
but that seems to be showcased more, and Miley Cyrus, who's was raised not far from here mm-hmm. in Kentucky early on, and she's a big name now, was then, but she was Hannah Montana back there, everyone loved her,
right?
And then she has morphed into this glitzy person, and she said that in show business, you only have a small window of sort of where you have the attention, and you burn out fast. And she wants to reach that because she knows when she's 25, she's old. I mean, you
right.
have that, and you get young people seeing this, and or young girls or boys do the same thing. They emulate people, and they lose reality,
mm-hmm.
and they get into the situation. And it's hard when you're trying, like in you're doing, mm-hmm. to get through this. You have all the, you know, the commercialism out there. You have all the things that happen. I mean, even in the sports things, you know, they've turned that into just a lot of flesh.
Absolutely.
it's a difficult situation. And now you were born raised right here in Huntington, right?
Born, raised, and bred. Yep, right
and
here.
You went to. What middle school did you go to?
I went to CMAC when Huntington Middle was still CMAC. I was a blue streak.
And from there, I guess you matriculated and went to, did you go to Marshall?
I did. I went to Marshall, Huntington High, and then Marshall.
Yeah.
I began at Marshall and have an art degree, a bachelor's in fine arts.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point, went on to get my Master's of Arts in Teaching. And so I taught middle mm-hmm. school for a while. And that's really where my love for youth kind of came into play. I loved the kids that mm-hmm. I was working with, but just wanted to know them, you know, as they are, as people, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt like this new avenue was a better way for me to plug into mm-hmm. to teens.
Well, you kind of got this concern and feeling to do this as you were teaching or
mm-hmm.
getting, but apparently you're very religious.
Yeah,
and you had a very stable upbringing.
Mm-hmm, I do.
Because my daughter knows you, your
mm-hmm.
mom, and but that helped. That helped you evolve into where you are now.
Absolutely. I mean, and I think that's what a lot of our girls will be lacking mm-hmm. is some stability in their life. And so, you know, I was very, very blessed to grow up the way I did. And so we know that we can't fix their problems, but we do want to be able to be, you know, a little mm-hmm. sliver of hope and stability for them in their lives.
Do the I guess they always, when a child kind of gets off in some wayward way, they say, well, it's the parents, or they don't provide the discipline and all. And I guess to some extent there is some truth to that, but there are a number of other factors that go into a person making a bad choice early in life and not being mature enough. But we have the teen moms that you know, and you can... Are they? Do they come from all economic strata, or is it one head household, or one member family, or poverty, or what are some of the other reasons you think may contribute to a young girl who may just be barely a teenager
mm-hmm.
making, you know, this choice to have a baby?
Right. You know, we definitely don't want to play the blame game. We don't want to jump into that at all.
Mm-hmm.
But we have seen, just across the board nationally, like I said, as this is a national organization, just through surveying and researching, mm-hmm. doing our homework, that a lot of our teen moms come from broken homes.
Mm-hmm.
That is a thing, statistic that we see come about more often than not. And so they're coming from broken homes. Oftentimes
mm-hmm.
they don't have a healthy relationship with their father.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes an overly dependent relationship on their mother. And this is, like I said, we are in no way typing girls at all. We do see teen pregnancy. It happens across all demographics.
Do you think the schools do an adequate job of providing education and information to young people, both boys and girls, about right and wrong and decisions that they make?
Yeah, I do, actually. I know now, just from relationships I've established, that they are working hard to approach topics of teen pregnancy prevention. I know that is something that they are recognizing and that they are now working to begin to approach with girls, and boys.
I have knowledge of a situation where there is a stepfather, and then the daughter is the her mother, and she gets put between the decisions that the stepfather wants to make or the mother wants to make, and she feels that her mother always sides with the stepfather, and she was telling this to a friend who told me, well, they said, well, why don't you talk to a counselor at school? Or, you know, maybe a teacher. And they say the counselors at school, and this is at Huntington High, I says the counselors at school are only interested in the academic and your classwork. They don't want to talk about anything like that because you try to talk to them and they, and apparently they have, I don't know if they have psychologists at every school or just a traveling one, but I said, well, why don't you have a teacher? But I don't know if this student wants to hear, but she's, I know that there's a problem in her home, in her environment, and I'm afraid it may lead to some action that just similar to what we're addressing here. And So there are situations where even where you have some support in place, things fall through the cracks.
Absolutely. I know that there are many services on the Hill, as we call it. I know they have some Prestera services there. There's a social worker who I know is very present there. So it's there.
Good.
And
I'm
just want to plug them in.
Well, someone want to get in touch with you, how could they reach you?
Absolutely. Shoot me an email. My email address is Jordan Lee, L-E-I-G-H, Shields, S-H-E-I-L-S, @gmail.com.
Okay. Well, Jordan, thank you very much for coming in today, and I really commend you on this program that you're undertaking. And
thank you.
I hope that we can help you along the way by getting information out and anything that we can do here, and we will have you back at some point.
You're listening to Tri-State Viewpoint on Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Hey, welcome back to Tri-State Viewpoint. This is Bobby Nelson. If you'd like to give me a call, I'm here until almost 4 o'clock. You can call me at 304-399-8255 or 877-420-8255. And if you have a big Halloween trick you want to pull on me, I'll be open to that. It's still overcast out there. As I told you earlier, the 22nd annual Safe Trick or Treat celebration. What do we call it, Ernie? This the Halloween party? Or?
Yeah, just Safe Trick or Treat is what we
really
call it.
Yeah, Safe Trick or Treat. But usually it's outdoors there on 8th Street between, 4th and 5th Avenues between the City Hall, and it's a great place to have it, the whole block there, but obviously because of the inclement weather, it's been moved to the Big Sandy Superstore Arena, 6 to 8 p.m. tonight, and probably with the weather the way it is, and I know the kids like to get out and go door to door and all that, but this is a safe environment, plenty of fun will be there, and I have a number of sponsors. You know, Kindred Communications owns and we operate a number of radio stations, 93.7 The Dog, 101 Big Buck Country, 92.7 and 98.5 The Planet, and Hits 97.9, and the best of all of them, Supertalk 94.1 and AM 930, plus ESPN Radio 1340. When does Mike Kirtner have time to do anything but look after all these children he has, all these stations?
Exactly what he does. Spends a lot of his time counting his money. I mean, watching after the children.
Well, what I like, he's committed to local radio, local ownership. I mean, this stuff of somebody in Honolulu somewhere owning stations and, you know.
This is the 20th year for Kindred Communications.
That's amazing. Started, did we start in a garage somewhere on West 14? We were in the West Virginia building until, a year ago? We moved down here.
The Coal Exchange.
The Coal Exchange, yeah. And is the Coal Exchange taller than the West Virginia building?
No.
So the West Virginia building is still the tallest in Huntington. maybe in West Virginia. I don't know. But anyway, our previous guest, we kind of ended in a hurry because I was asking drawn-out questions. But I wanted to make sure if you'd like to get in touch with Jordan Jordan Shields. She has an email address, and they're trying to get the Young Lives, this group that will mentor and work with the teenage moms. They've been in Huntington, but they're really going to become very active. After the first year, they'll have a location behind First Presbyterian Church, and they have they're going to have events every two, well, a number of things. But the best thing to do, if you are interested and you know a young teen mother, or if you're a teen mother listening, if you'd like to get in touch with Jordan, her name is Jordan Lee Shields, but her email address is Jordan Lee, L-E-I-G-H, Jordan Lee Shields, S-H-E-I-L-S, @gmail.com. That's Jordan Lee Shields, that's all one word, @gmail.com. That's here in Huntington, and we'll be hearing a lot more from her because she's, I think, not only very committed, but very bright young woman, and she feels this is her calling. And it takes a special call to do something like this. And I think it's certainly the right person. I wanted to mention a couple things before we have next break. But before I do that, I guess it's only fair, Ernie, that we give out the trick-or-treat times around the tri-state. Do you think so? In addition?
Yeah, it's available on most websites, the TV and radio websites, I think, even in the newspaper there.
Yeah, well, I will basically give the ones locally, although we are tri-state.
Yeah, we reach, you know, a good area with this.
Well, the interesting thing about it is all of these trick-or-treat times in the tri-state mostly are tonight from 6 to 8, and just like ours over at the Big Sandy, both in West Virginia, Kentucky, and Ohio. Some of them end at 7:30, but most of them are 6 to 8, and that includes, you know, up in Barbersville and Cerrito and Elder and up at Point Pleasant and over in Chesapeake and Proctorville and Ashland. And Ashland's now ends at 6 to 7:30, so they cut it off a half hour before. They probably run out of candy or something. They don't.
What about my wonderful community of Milton?
Milton on the Mud. Oh, excuse me, Milton on the Move. I'm sorry. Milton on the Move now. They are same 6 to 8 tonight. And
I'll not be at my house to give out treats, but that's all right. I'll be spooky DJing it.
And, of course, Ironton also 6 to 8 tonight. So it's all tonight. And I just was reading recently where the sale of goods and candies and things and all that is second only to Christmas. It has become a huge, huge, you know, I guess it's somewhat commercial, but people just love to dress up and become characters, and the children just get a big thrill. By the way, did you see on TV last night where is it Pope Francis? Where he was speaking at there in St. Peter's Square, and this little kid walked right up and put his arm around his leg and stood there, and some of the Pope's assistants tried to lure him away with candy and all, and he took their candy and told him to go away, and he brought up the little girl to have the Pope look down. I mean, it was amazing. It was on most of the news stations had it, but anyway, I hesitate to get into this next issue because it's getting to be more of a knockdown, drag-out prize fight and an effort to, in effect, in any way possible to undermine, defeat, kill, stomp, get rid of, defund Obamacare, and also known by those who want to be more formal as the Affordable Care Act. This is something that in due time is going to be one of the great benefits to the American population. It's going to be similar in time to Social Security, Medicare, the GI Bill, you know, the federal highway system, the space research and all. But unfortunately, there is a real problem because of the ideological differences between the two parties. It stems primarily around the Republican view that the less government is the best government, and the government should not be involved in anything that people can do for themselves. Unfortunately, because there is this need for all of us to have health insurance, because at some point in our lives we're going to have to either have surgery, go to the hospital, or whatever, and so we've been pretty much at the mercy of insurance companies, and they sell us insurance, and they set a premium, and based on our income, our health status, and everything, you pay, and either you pay or you don't get it. And then if you have a certain condition that you've had, that figures in, it costs more. If you're a female as opposed to male, it costs more. All these things has led to 48 million Americans not having any health insurance. And there's been an effort going back all the way really to Teddy Roosevelt to have some kind of health insurance for Americans. And, you know, even early, you know, later than that, even some of the Republican organizations have supported a form of health insurance for all Americans. But the problem is a large number of Republicans who believe in less government, they think this should be in the private market, that the government should not be involved. And but the problem is the government has to get involved because we have so many people who don't have it, and then when they get sick or hurt, they go to the emergency room or they go to the hospital where it's the most expensive place to take care of them, and the cost of that is this is uncompensated care from the hospitals, or it's passed on to those who have health insurance an increased premium. So to get, and the idea behind the health insurance thing is the more people you get into the pool, the larger the pool, the better price break you get on the premiums, and maybe even the better benefits. But you have to get people into the insurance pool. And so that was the purpose behind the Affordable Care Act. One, to provide quality health care for every American that's affordable to them. And there's a system by which you will receive a credit or subsidy from the government to help you purchase that insurance based on your income and other factors. About 85% of the people in the country have essentially some kind of insurance. We have most of them through their employer, but there are a number of people who purchase their own policies. And here's where the big fight is right now, and that only affects about 5% or maybe 10 to 12 million people. That's what they're talking about now. The vast numbers more already have insurance through, again, their employer or through Medicare, Medicaid, veterans and whatever. And they aren't affected at all by the Affordable Care Act. They're already qualified. These policies and plan coverages they have already meet the minimum standards required by the Affordable Care Act. And that's one of the things that the insurance companies, to some extent, and the Republicans don't like. They do not like minimum standards or essential values that's required by insurance companies when they provide insurance. Now, used to, they could do anything they wanted. Now, they cannot, for example, deny you insurance because of a pre-existing condition. They also cannot have what they call a kind of an index where, based on your age and how you look and whatever, they can set a price that is somewhat discriminatory. They have to provide certain pre-preventive health things, examinations and things like that. They have to allow your children to remain on your insurance until they're 26. There are a number of things that were not really in a lot of insurance policies in the past or even required. And so what's happening now is that in order for these insurance companies to remain selling these policies, they have to bring their insurance policies up to the standard required by the new law, because after all, it gets rid of a lot of these things that in the past have been things that result in when someone gets sick or needs insurance, it's so expensive because they put all these conditions in there that they no longer can do. And the President and the Congress had said, when we pass this law, we will grandfather in the policies that you have now if you do not raise the rates. Well, the policies that that the insurance companies have now have to eventually meet this standard, the minimum standard of coverage. Well, the insurance companies are basically saying we have to cancel the policies that we have for you because we can't up the standards. That will just cost us money, or it won't give us the kind of break, because traditionally private insurance covers about, according to the studies I saw in the New York Times on this, that some of these private insurance policies cover about 30% of your actual needs when you get sick or hurt. the employer type insurance covers about 87%. A lot of these individual coverages are really not cheap, but they don't provide a whole lot of coverage. And that's what we have a lot of out there. And that's what this whole Affordable Care thing is designed to do, to allow individuals to be able to go to an exchange and purchase an insurance policy that provides all these things that in many instances they are not now getting. And based on their income, their age, and condition, they will get a subsidy. They won't get it directly, but the government will provide a subsidy to the insurance exchange or the company they buy the insurance from, so that the actual premium to the individual can be reduced as much as 30%. Some of these policies will be in the neighborhood, if you go to an exchange, it'll be as low as maybe $70 a month or $80 a month. It depends, again, on the they have what they call the bronze, silver, and gold. These are levels of coverage that you can purchase whatever level you want and whatever you're qualified for. And so that's what we're looking at. And yesterday was probably the most, I think, unfortunate and damning effort by a group of really mean-spirited Republican members of the House Commerce Committee. They just raked the Cabinet Secretary, Kathleen Sebelius, over the coals, saying because we're having some problems with rolling out this the website for that. And you have the website, and then you have the Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act isn't changing. It's just the way it's being rolled out so that people know. That's where the problem is, but they want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. This is a reason to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. This is what they're saying. They've used every trick in the book to try and defeat Obamacare. The House passed the bill defunding us 42 times. They closed down the government 16 days. They went to the brink of our debt ceiling. I mean, these people are so extreme in their view that it's unconscionable. And if you use the basic premise, and I'm going to take a break here in a minute, Ernie. I'm going to roll. If you accept the basic premise, that why shouldn't everyone in our country have health insurance if they want it? Why shouldn't there be an affordable? If you agree with that, why would you oppose it? That's what I would like to know. That's what we're seeing. Anyway, we're going to take our final break here. This is Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Storm Tracker 13 on Super. Now, back to Tri-State Viewpoint on Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
A couple things I think you might be interested in knowing. Senator Rockefeller has indicated he will not seek re-election next year, and several candidates are already lining up for that, try to win that seat. Shelley Moore Capito announced at the beginning of the year, and the current Secretary of State, Natalie Tennant, a Democrat, so they're probably going to go head-to-head for that seat in next year in the elections. But anyway, this Saturday night, day after tomorrow, in Charleston, they're having the annual Jefferson Jackson Gay Dinner. It's the biggest Democratic get-together of the year, but they're having a special night to honor Senator Rockefeller, who's been a wonderful elected representative for the state of West Virginia. He adopted this state. He came here, fell in love with it. He was really a Vista volunteer, and he helped put together a little community center back in rural Kanawha County. And he just fell in love and has been here ever since. And he served in the state legislature. I happen to have the honor of serving with him in the House of Delegates. Then he was elected Secretary of State. And following that, he was elected two terms as governor of West Virginia. Then he went on to serve in three terms in the United States Senate and is highly respected. And say, well, he's a Rockefeller, but Jay has never pretended that, you know, he has all the trappings of wealth and all. He's as down-to-earth as you'll ever find him. And I think it's really wonderful that they're going to have this recognition dinner Saturday for him. And you know who's going to be there, Ernie, to give the keynote address and to really recognize and tell the folks how great Jay Rockefeller is.
Vice President, isn't it?
The Vice President of the United States, Joe Biden. And you know something? West Virginia was the second worst state for President Obama and Joe Biden in the last election, thanks to the Friends of Coal and people who think a black should never be president. But he didn't have to come here because of the way West Virginia's kicked around him and all. But that shows you the kind of admiration that both the president and the vice president have for Senator Rockefeller. And also, despite the knuckle knockdown drag out and the name calling and the hair pulling you get in politics of both parties, there are some people who rise above that and really can disagree and still be friends. And Joe Biden can get along with anybody. And Jay Rockefeller, I don't think he's ever really, I've been around him a good bit. I've never heard him raise his voice. I mean, he's really a down-to-earth guy, and I'm glad to see this. One of the people that will be there will be Congressman Ray Hall. Congressman Ray Hall is going to probably have a tough battle next year because Evan Jenkins has been implored to switch parties. He basically was a Republican, but back when, and even now today, the Democrats have a registered majority here. But back in the days when Democrats voted for Democrats, if you want to be elected in Campbell County, you had to be a Democrat. So Evan got elected as a Democrat, although in his heart he was a Republican. So he's basically coming home now because the Republicans are making a big run to try to capture the West Virginia legislature. So they're going around the state. They got money from the National Republican Party and a number of these special interest groups, and they're going around the state trying to talk Democrats who are really Republicans, like Evan Jenkins. And we just heard today where a former, I believe, the lady who was on the city council or mayor up in Clarksburg, who switched to a Republican, and she's going to run for the House next year. Her name is Bailey, I think. And she said she's always been a Republican, but Clarksburg, Harrison County is a big Democratic county, and times are changing. People are more conservative. They're getting older, and they have more. In the case of Evan Jenkins, he's got a ton of money coming. In fact, I think he raised more money in the last quarter than Congressman Ray Hall. So that's going to be an interesting race. In that connection, I personally think I disagree with Congressman Ray Hall on his position on coal, but he comes from a coal district, so I can understand that. But he has been a very strong congressman in terms of serving his district. He's here every weekend. He's on several key committees, and he works for veterans. He works for everybody, and I think he's going to be okay in this, but it's going to be the toughest race had. But he had a press release today. And I'm sure those of us who are 65 and over, we are concerned about our Social Security benefits. And every year we have this COLA situation. And COLA stands for Cost of Living Adjustment. And every year the Social Security Administration adjusts the checks of Social Security recipients based on this cost of living adjustment. And that's the cost of living is tied to the purchasing that people make of foods and things, how the real, you know, what the market and what the general cost of living is. And so they, what it goes up because food goes up and things go up. So you can't have people living on Social Security to be locked in. So they have this adjustment. But this one that was announced, and Congressman Ray Hall had a press release on, yesterday the Social Security Administration announced that the monthly Social Security benefits will increase by 1.5% next year. That's the lowest increase in many, many years. And part of it is due to the purchasing power was not as great. The cost of living is going up. And we also have a problem with the shutdown of the government, the sequestration that we're all facing. But Congressman Ray Hall has introduced legislation to change the way this is designed because obviously a 1.5% is not going to be a whole lot to people who are faced with increasing cost every day. So that is not still good news, but at least Congressman Ray Hall would like to do something about it. He's tried to do this before. But there are other things going on, and with that music, you know we're about out of time. I wanted to talk a little bit about what is happening with Marcellus Shale and the gas drilling in West Virginia, and how the energy companies that are coming into this state and buying up land and drilling in it, how they're not employing West Virginians, which they were basically obligated to do when they bought up these leases. We'll talk more about that maybe next week. But that's going to take care of today's program. This is Bobby Nelson saying good day and happy Halloween.
The John Boy and Billy Big Show, mornings 6 to 10 on Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930 WRVC Huntington, a service of Kindred Communications.